Honey, this is Winona LaDuke, and I'm going to talk about the environmental impact statement informational hearings on the proposed Line 3. Those hearings are going to be coming up in Rice Lake, Cass Lake, Bemidji, Fond du Lac, and East Lake. Going to be time to get out. It's the next week. So Line 3, what is it? It's the sequel to the Sandpiper. It's larger and scarier. Last year, the White Earth people joined with many others and stopped the Sandpiper, the fracked oil pipeline, 640,000 barrels a day. That's when the whole battle of Standing Rock went down, after we stopped a pipeline. Now, Enbridge is back with another line. Same route, same problems. In the next couple of weeks, people will have an opportunity to ask some questions and make comments on Line 3, the Canadian-based Enbridge Corporation's 900,000 barrels per day tar sands pipeline. The Court of Minnesota ordered this environmental review. Finally, the Minnesota Department of Commerce finished it. It's pretty huge, and it offers a lot of good information, yet it still brings some deep concerns, including, most important, why that no-build option, or let's just not do this, it's a bad idea, is not recommended. The project, if it succeeds, would grant an entirely new corridor forever through northern Minnesota. That project is not technically a, quote, replacement. That's what Enbridge calls it, since it's a brand new corridor. And it is a much larger pipe. So here's some questions I'm going to be asking and maybe other people might want to ask. So first, if you're a native person, you might want to know why it don't matter. The Department of Commerce reports that American Indian communities, quote unquote, and individuals have unique health issues associated with historical trauma and structural racism. American Indians in Minnesota have greater health disparities and poor health outcomes compared to other racial and ethnic groups in Minnesota. The report continues, noting, the uprooting of the people from their traditional lands creates psychological and health impacts for generations. Displacement brought about a loss of traditional ways to making a living, of providing food for the table, and of being in relationship to one another. The EIS report notes, the impacts associated with the proposed project and its alternatives would be an additional health stressor on tribal communities that already face overwhelming health disparities and inequities. The Department of Commerce notes, quote, the tribal community bears the largest impact of the proposed project. Any of the routes, it says, selected would negatively affect tribal resources and tribal members. The relationship to the land and the rights tribal members have in the ceded territories complicates the traditional notion of mitigation. Mitigation means trying to make it better in energy terms and in economic terms. The ceded territories and the rights that go with them are not mobile and cannot be transferred. Then the department comes out and says this, a finding of disproportionate and adverse impacts does not preclude selection of any given alternative. This finding does, however, require detailed efforts to avoid, mitigate, minimize, rectify, reduce, or eliminate the impact associated with the construction of the pipeline. There you go. So in other words, deal with it, Indians. We want to put this line through. You're already pretty traumatized. This is not going to be good for you, but Enbridge really wants this line. The Department of Commerce also noted that the preferred project route of Enbridge would cross more wild rice lakes than any other proposed route. So these are some questions we need to ask, and this is going to be a battle line on this pipeline. I feel Standing Rock coming. Where's the spill data? That's a whole other question. That's kind of a big problem. Enbridge has tried to bar, not disclose, keep secret, all of this information from the public, stating that, quote, some bad actors might use this information on worst spill case scenarios. That's what it's called, worst spill case scenarios. So then Park Rapids-based Friends of the Headwaters pointed out that Enbridge pipelines on its mainland route are exposed above ground or shallowly buried in many locations. Google Earth, we call it Grandfather Google, can be used to find such pipelines hanging above streams. This imagery reveals that many pipelines are within a few feet of each other. The type of person who would do such deliberate damage already has plenty of information about where to do such damage. In other words, Enbridge and the state of Minnesota should release a full worst-case scenario. Let me just tell you an example. There are some spill scenarios in the report, but none has been done, for instance, on the St. Louis River. Now, if I was Duluth's mayor or city council, I would want to know what the plan was to protect the Great Lakes. Abandonment. This is such a big problem. I have an abandonment complex. There's not a lot of discussion about this in the document, although this is a pretty big problem and a precedent. So there are at least 8 operating pipelines in Minnesota, of which most of them have been around 30 years or more. And this is the first, quote, abandonment of a line, and it's going to set a precedent. That would be a national precedent. So let's say that this problem doesn't get solved now before Enbridge gets a brand new corridor. And so the other 5 lines get abandoned And then, what about the next six lines they build? Time to fix the problem is now. Find out what's under the pipes, which Enbridge says are in a state of deterioration or weeping hydrocarbons. In other words, they're leaking all over. This year, Representative Rick Hansen proposed the first attempt to give landowners a right to make decisions on pipelines in their territory. The idea of tribes in the states regulating abandonment in our pristine watersheds might be a good one, rather than leaving it to a Canadian oil pipeline company. And that would likely, many landowners and tribal members say, be solved before we talk about any other pipeline ideas they might have. Now, there's a lot of other questions to be asked, but let's just say there's also the question of need. That's always an opinion. Who needs it? Is it really needed? The Toronto Globe and Mail suggests that pipeline companies and politicians are, quote, overbuilding tar sands pipelines by 2.4 million barrels a day capacity. And it's not clear how much tar sands oil, according to the Canadian Association of Pipeline Producers, petroleum producers, will be produced in the next 10 or 15 years. Now would really be the time to ask if this pipe is needed and to ask some questions about the line. Those informational hearings, where they tell you and answer some questions, are going to be starting first June 6th at 10 a.m. in Rice Lake Village. The 7th, they'll be in Park Rapids from 10 to 1 at the high school, and from 6 to 9 that night at the Palace Casino over in Cass Lake. Other hearings that are coming up, Fond du Lac, well, East Lake is June 12th from 6 to 9 at the East Lake Community Center, and Tuesday, June 13th from 10 to 1 at the Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College. Then you got the one down at Hinckley, June 12th from 10 to 1. It's going to be time to turn out and ask some questions of the state, ask some questions of Enbridge, and begin this next round of the battle to protect our water. Miigwech, this is Winona LaDuke.